Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about the question, why pray? Undoubtedly, someone is listening to me today who has prayed for a very long time about one particular matter, and it doesn't appear that God has heard that prayer because nothing has changed. Well, there's a classic story in the Confessions of St. Augustine, one of the most beautiful expressions of this great mysterious question of why God says no. St. Augustine was determined that he was going to leave for Rome. His mother begged and implored him not to go. He was a young man who had lived and was living a very profligate, immoral life. She was praying for his salvation. She was literally watering the ground with her tears. And when she begged him not to go to Rome because she felt that that would be the final ruination of this beloved son, he said, "Why I went thence and went thither, thou knewest, O God, yet showedst it neither to me nor to my mother, who grievously bewailed my journey and followed me as far as the sea. But I deceived her, holding me by force that either she might keep me back or go with me. And I feigned I had a friend whom I could not leave till he had a fair wind to sail. And I lied to my mother, and such a mother, and escaped. For this also hast thou mercifully forgiven me, preserving me, though full of execrable defilements, from the waters of the sea, for the water of thy grace. Whereby when I was cleansed, the streams of my mother's eyes should be dried, with which for me she daily watered the ground under her face. And yet refusing to return without me, I scarcely persuaded her to stay the night in a place close by the ship, where was an oratory in memory of the blessed Cyprian." An oratory being a place for prayer. "That night I secretly departed, but she was not behind in weeping and prayer. And what, O Lord, was she with so many tears asking of thee, but that thou wouldst not allow me to sail? But thou, in the depths of thy counsels, and hearing the main point of her desire, regardest not what she then asked, that thou mightest make me what she always asked." I think I better read that sentence again. That's the most crucial part. "Thou, in the depths of thy counsels, and hearing the main point of her desire, regardest not what she then asked, that thou mightest make me what she always asked." In other words, God could not answer the prayer that Augustine not go to Rome, because God wanted to answer the prayer that she was always asking, which was for his salvation. In Rome, her son Augustine would become a Christian. "The wind blew and swelled our sails and withdrew the shore, and she on the morrow was there frantic with sorrow, and with complaints and groans filled thine ears, who didst then regard them. While through my desires thou wert hurrying me to end all desire, and the earthly part of her affection to me was chastened by the allotted scourge of sorrows. For she loved my being with her, as mothers do, but much more than many. And she knew not how great joy thou wert about to work for her out of my absence. She knew not. Therefore she wept and wailed, and by this agony there appeared in her the inheritance of Eve, with sorrow seeking what in sorrow she had brought forth." He's referring there to her double motherhood. She had given birth, of course, in the natural way to St. Augustine, who was not a saint at that time, and she was now bringing him forth in sorrow as she prayed for his salvation. And yet, after accusing my treachery and hard-heartedness, she betook herself again to intercede for me, and went to her usual place, and I to Rome. But thou, everywhere present, heardest her where she was, and where I was, had compassion upon me. Couldst thou despise and reject from thy aid the tears of such a one as my mother, wherewith she begged of thee not gold or silver, but the salvation of her son's soul, thou, by whose gift she was such a mother? Never, Lord. Yea, thou wert at hand, and wert hearing and doing in that order wherein thou hadst determined before that it should be done. Maybe the English is a little bit difficult to hear, but you get the gist, don't you? This woman had prayed all Augustine's life for his salvation, and now it just seemed as though all of her prayers were turning to dust because he was going to go to that wicked city of Rome where his final disintegration would occur. But God was listening to all of those prayers. He saw every tear that fell. He counted them. He put them in his bottle, the Bible says. And God knew that by his going to Rome, he would be put into contact with great Christians, and he would become one of the greatest Christians in all of history. And so her tears were not for nothing. I think of George Mueller, who prayed for 40 years for the salvation of his brother. He never saw him saved here on earth. George Mueller died before his brother did, but his brother became a Christian after Mueller's death. Charles H. Brent wrote, "Prayer is not so much the means whereby God's will is bent to man's desires, as it is that whereby man's will is bent to God's desires." That bears repeating, doesn't it? Prayer is not so much the means whereby God's will is bent to man's desires, as it is that whereby man's will is bent to God's desires. Prayer is request. Prayer gives to us, as Pascal said, the dignity of causality. It is, in a very real sense, I believe, a participation in the work of Christ in the world. He ordained prayer. If Jesus needed to pray to his Father, how much more do you and I? If you want to read the longest prayer that's recorded of Jesus, read the chapter John 17. He prays for the world. He prays for his own disciples. He prays for the people whom his Father is going to give him. But he prays for them. Jesus Christ himself prayed for them, and he prays for us. That's a tremendous comfort to me when I realize how poor my prayers are, how seemingly ineffective, how distracted, how weak, how irregular. To know that Christ prays for me, and that he gives me the unspeakable privilege of participating in his work on earth through the act of prayer. The dignity of causality. Participation in the work of Christ. It is cooperation in God's redemptive work. And it is also a self-offering. When I intercede for other people, it has to be perhaps the most unselfish act that any of us is capable of doing. Nobody knows about it. The person for whom we pray may not know about it ever. We are giving our time, our minds, our strength, our attention to prayer for that person. And so, in that sense, it's a self-offering. And when I see that God has answered my prayer in a very different way than what I had expected or what I had hoped, let me remember that my prayer is always, "Thy will be done." And when I say that prayer, I am transferring my will to God's. It is an absolute transfer of my will to God's. Here is what Lady Julian of Norwich wrote, "I am the ground of thy beseeching." This is God speaking to her. "First, it is my will that thou have it. And after I make thee to will it, and after I make thee beseech it, and thou beseechest it, how should it then be that thou shouldst not have thy beseeching?" Now, shall I put that in rather more modern English? "I am the ground of what you are asking for. First, it is my will that you have it. And after I make you will it, and after that I make you ask for it, and you ask for it, how should it then be that you will not have what you ask for?" If the bottom line of our prayers is "Thy will be done," we can be assured that God answers that prayer. Amy Carmichael said, "God always answers us in the deeps, never in the shallows of our soul." George MacDonald says, "Many things that God would gladly give us, things even that we need because we are, must wait until we ask for them, that we may know whence they come. When in all gifts we find Him, then in Him shall we find all things." And back to poor little Tamantha standing outside the door. He had to ask. And when he asked, the door was opened.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.